Tuesday.
Hey, yeah.
Good night.
In this day of economic uncertainty and soaring unemployment, safe investments are often hard to find. But investing in the precious metals is the safest investment of all, because gold and silver is real money. Government-printed currency is not. Call Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company at 1-800-375-4188. Melody has been helping people secure their financial future for over 10 years. While others in the business claim honesty, Melody will deliver. Give her a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. Are you a believer that is looking for a way to understand Bible prophecy as it pertains to historic as well as current events? Do you believe a one-world government is predicted in the Bible to occur in our day? Do you want to know what the Bible says about the Vatican's role in all of this? Are you one that believes no prophecy of the Bible is of any personal interpretation, as 2 Peter 1:20 declares? And are you also one that understands all the symbols in prophecy are defined accurately in all the books of the Bible? If so, then you are one that would be blessed by the truth provided broadcast. Please join us on Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for an adventure in Bible prophecy. See the prophecies of old come to light in today's current events as well as historic events in our not-so-distant past. You will find information in this broadcast that will benefit you and your family like never before. So please stop by Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on FirstAmendmentRadio.com for the truth provided broadcast. For more information, stop by our website at www.remnantofgod.org.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget!
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Butcher.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Horses and men, horses and men are on the field. They didn't yield. Many have fallen here. Never forget, never forget what they have done. The time will come when it will change again. Never forget.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty.
And thank you, Nicholas, for playing music until we get on the air. Sometimes I'm all ready to go and something comes up and I have to run down the hall or let the girls out or let them in, and it just happens that way, folks. Thank you for being here tonight. It is Tuesday. It is the 27th of September in the year 2005. And we have no guest with us this evening. I've got some stuff I want to share with you. I was going to change the subject this evening, but I've decided not to. And I will take your calls if you would like to call in this evening. Let me give you the call-in number, and you can write it down if you want to. It's 570-537-3025. 570-537-3025. Our spiritual message this evening is a poem, a poem. It's titled The Difference. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, "You didn't ask." I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, "But you didn't seek." I tried to come into God's presence. I tried all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, "My child, you didn't knock." I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish, I had to take time to pray. I think Jean sent me that. Jean Adams from Virginia Beach, Virginia. I don't know if you are aware of this, folks. Maybe you are. I wasn't. That there are mercenaries in New Orleans, mercenaries, really mercenaries from a private company. And when I first got this piece, I wasn't really sure it was authentic. And then there was a piece written by the Washington Post that really confirmed it. And this is titled Overkill, Feared Blackwater Mercenaries Deploy in New Orleans. Feared Blackwater Mercenaries. New Orleans. This is from it's a website titled Democracy Now. It's evidently a quote liberal website. Doesn't matter. People put labels and titles on themselves and call themselves Democrats and Republicans and conservatives and liberals, and all those were made up for us, folks. All those titles, all those names, all those labels, they were just made up for us. And so I'm sharing this with you anyway. It doesn't mean they're communists. And besides, what is communist? Socialist? Democrat? Conservative? Neocon? They're all one and the same thing. We just need to remember that. And before I start this, I read a piece today from some guy who's... Anyway, I don't normally read his stuff because the first one I read, I saw that it was just... And I don't think this is intentional. Maybe it is, or maybe it's just somebody who goes a little way or maybe opens his eyes a teeny tiny peep, because I think so many people have been sending him information. In fact, I did receive a message from him, along with some other, probably talk show hosts, I don't know, but he asked for our input, and I read his first piece, and I thought, it just isn't worth it. Today, normally I just delete them. Today I happened to read it because it was titled Bush's Solution to Katrina, We Need More Power. And it was a well-written piece, and yet he made a comment in there that Bush made a decision and he mentioned our Constitution, that our framers gave us the most perfect document in history. And I had to respond to that, of course, because I was, you know, for many of you who have known me for a long time, I would have defended the Constitution with my dying breath, until in chapter 12 of the book, Jewish Persecution, it's online at sweetliberty.org, until I was writing that chapter, and it really took off on itself. We were supposed to be talking about the Noahide laws. We got talking about how the Constitution was made, and I started doing research, and I've changed my tune. And what I told this man is that the framers of that document framed us, except the frame is more like a strong box, difficult to get out of. But he also mentioned, as I said, but you hear this all the time. George Bush said this, and George Bush wants that. George Bush decided this. And we should watch our speaking, be very, very vigilant. George Bush doesn't make any decisions. He's a blithering idiot. And that's not a nice thing to say about anybody, but he's a blithering idiot. He doesn't make any decisions, and I doubt that any president for a long, 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 maybe ever, really made their own decisions, maybe sometime way far back. But does it matter if they were like George Washington, our hero, the Freemason, who signed the charter for the first bank here, gave the bankers the toehold? That's George Washington, our cannot-tell-a-lie guy. But at the number one guy is never number one. He's just a talking head, folks. And people want to blame stuff on Bush and say, well, when Clinton was in, Clinton didn't do this, Clinton didn't do that, and Bush did. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. I think it's important that we get that. They don't make their own decisions. The U.S. government is a corporation. It is run as such. And basically, the president, I guess you would say, is the CEO, but not really. He's more like the janitor, taking orders from those behind the scenes. And if they don't, guess what happens? You know what happens. They get killed. And I just wanted to mention that before I started this. Watch our speaking. Watch our speaking. We don't have to promulgate the lie. And I know that I split hairs a lot with words, because I believe, very deeply believe, well, it's the way we communicate, isn't it, folks? At least our verbal communication. Anyway, this article titled, Overkill, Feared Blackwater Mercenaries Deploy in New Orleans. Heavily armed paramilitary mercenaries from the Blackwater private security firm, infamous for their work in Iraq, are openly patrolling the streets of New Orleans. Some of the mercenaries say they've been, quote, deputized by the Louisiana governor. Indeed, some are wearing gold Louisiana state law enforcement badges on their chests and Blackwater photo ID cards on their arms. They say they are on contract with the Department of Homeland Security and have been given the authority to use lethal force. These are mercenaries, folks. They're hired killers. And that they have been given authority to use lethal force. Several mercenaries we spoke with said they had served in Iraq on the personal security details of the former head of the U.S. occupation, L. Paul Bremer, and the former U.S. ambassador to Iraq, John Negroponte. This is a quote, this is a totally new thing to have guys like us working I don't know how they pronounce it, CONUS. It's C-O-N-U-S, and it stands for Continental United States. He says this is a totally new thing to have a guys like us working CONUS. A heavily armed Blackwater mercenary told us as we stood on Bourbon Street in the French Quarter. We're much better equipped to deal with the situation in Iraq, he said. Blackwater mercenaries are some of the most feared professional killers in the world, and they are accustomed to operating without worry of legal consequences. Their presence on the streets of New Orleans should be a cause for serious concern for the remaining residents of the city and raises alarming questions about why the government would allow men trained to kill with impunity in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. Why would they allow them to operate here? Some of the men now patrolling the streets of New Orleans returned from Iraq as recently as 2 weeks ago. Well, the person who wrote this obviously doesn't understand why the, quote, government. The government is not a living entity. The government. It are people. It is people. It is made up of people who are making decisions, folks. What is most disturbing is the calm of several Blackwater mercenaries that we spoke with, that they are here under contract from the federal and Louisiana state. What is most disturbing is the claim of several Blackwater mercenaries we spoke with that they're here under contract from the federal and Louisiana state governments. Well, that's what businesses do. That's what corporations do. They make contracts, don't they, folks? But, by the way, oh boy, I know I do this a lot, but this reminded me a long time ago, several years ago, I remember Nicole saying that the children sent home a contract from the school that the parents were supposed to sign. And, of course, I warned her not to sign anything because they can add to it after you've signed something that looks very innocuous. If any of you have children, and this is ever, it has not happened, if it ever does, just send it back. Just send it back. Blackwater is one of the leading private security firms. Security is in quotes. Blackwater is one of the leading private security firms servicing the occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan. It has several U.S. government contracts and has provided security for many senior U.S. diplomats, foreign dignitaries, and corporations. The company rose to international prominence after four of its men were killed in Fallujah and two of their charred bodies were hung from a bridge in March 2004. I don't remember reading that. Those killings sparked the massive U.S. retaliation against the civilian population of Fallujah that resulted in scores of deaths and tens of thousands of refugees. As the threat of forced evictions now looms in New Orleans and the city confiscates even legally registered weapons from civilians, by the way, some judge there evidently put a restraining order on the seizure of guns. I don't know if that means they're giving back the guns to the people who own them legally and whatever that means. But, in other words, not giving them back to the criminals, but I don't know if that means that or not, but it was in a news article besides something that somebody wrote, so I believe that that probably is the case. And that's amazing. But maybe they already had confiscated weapons from those that they wanted to get them from. And maybe the elite in New Orleans then got to keep their self-home defense weapons. What do you think? The possibility of that. Because the elite is getting together, the elite in New Orleans is getting together to, quote, rebuild New Orleans in the way they want it. Of course, it'll come out of tax dollars, won't it, folks? Anyway, As the threat, this is back to the article, as the threat of forced evictions now looms in New Orleans and the city confiscates even legally registered weapons from civilians, the private mercenaries of Blackwater patrol the streets, openly wielding M16s and other assault weapons. This, despite Police Commissioner Eddie Compass claim that, quote, only law enforcement are allowed to have weapons. Officially, Blackwater says its forces are in New Orleans to, quote, join the hurricane relief effort. That's in quotes. A statement on the company's website, dated September 1, advertises airlift services, security services, and crowd control. The company, according to news reports, has since begun taking private contracts to guard hotels, businesses, and other properties. But what has not been publicly acknowledged is the claim made to us by two Blackwater mercenaries that they are actually engaged in general law enforcement activities, including securing neighborhoods and, quote, confronting criminals. That raises a key question. Under what authority are Blackwater's men operating? A spokesperson for the Homeland Security Department, Russ Knock, told the Washington Post that he knows of no federal plans to hire Blackwater or other private security. He said, quote, we believe we've got the right mix of personnel in law enforcement for the federal government to meet the demands of public safety. End quoting. But in an hour-long conversation with several Blackwater mercenaries, we heard a different story. The men we spoke with said that they are indeed on contract with the Department of Homeland Security and the Louisiana Governor's Office, and that some of them are sleeping in camps organized by Homeland Security in New Orleans and Baton Rouge. One of them wore a gold Louisiana state law enforcement badge and said he had been deputized by the governor. They told us they not only had authority to make arrests, but also to use lethal force. We encountered the Blackwater forces as we walked through the streets of the largely deserted French Quarter. We were talking with two New York police officers when an unmarked car without license plates sped up next to us and stopped. Inside were three men dressed in khaki uniforms, flak jackets, and wielding automatic weapons. Y'all know where the Blackwater guys are? They asked. One of the police officers responded, there are a bunch of them around here, and pointed down the road. Blackwater, we asked. The guys who are in Iraq? Yeah, said the officer. They're all over the place. A short while later, as we continued down Bourbon Street, we ran into the men from the car. They wore Blackwater ID badges on their arms, and they're wearing military uniforms, folks. So who can tell the difference, huh? When they told me New Orleans, I said, what country is that in? Said one of the Blackwater men. He was wearing the company ID around his neck in a carrying case with the phrase Operation Iraqi Freedom printed on it. Looks like a typo here, unless I read that wrong. When they told me New Orleans, I said, what country is that in? Oh, it's one of the Blackwater men. Oh, okay, I wasn't getting it. One of the Blackwater men said, when they told me New Orleans, I said, what country is that in? He was wearing his company ID around his neck in a carrying case with the phrase Operation Iraqi Freedom printed on it. After bragging about how he drives around Iraq in a State Department-issued Level 5 explosion-proof BMW, he said he was, quote, just trying to get back to Kirkuk in the south of Iraq where the real action is. Later, we overheard him on his cell phone complaining the Blackwater was only paying $350 a day plus per diem. That's much less than the men are making serving in more dangerous conditions in Iraq. Two men we spoke with said they plan on returning to Iraq in October. But as one mercenary said, they've been told they could be in New Orleans for up to 6 months. This is a trend, he told us. Listen to this, folks. This is a trend, he told us. You're going to see a lot more guys like us in these situations. Now, you think about this. He was complaining because he was only getting paid $350 a day, and that in Iraq they get paid a lot more. This is private company, and these mercenaries that are over there in Iraq, think about, folks, what the soldiers, I don't know what the soldiers are getting paid, but probably what these guys are getting paid a day over in Iraq probably equals a week or 2 weeks worth of pay that the U.S. soldiers are getting, plus they get per diem. And if you recall, I recall reading an article, a news article, that the soldiers, when they're injured and they're in the hospital, they have to pay $8 a day for their room, folks. And, you know, many of them are losing their homes. There are many, many Iraqi homeless. In fact, they're already setting up shelters for the homeless Iraqi veterans, the U.S. soldiers, the veterans from Iraq War. They're setting up homeless shelters for them. They're losing their homes to the mortgage companies because they can't pay the mortgage. And that bankruptcy bill that passed a few months ago in the U.S. Congress, the bill was basically passed for the credit card companies, the banksters, because it's going to make it almost impossible for people to file bankruptcy today. And when they were doing hearings on the bill, evidently, or when they were debating it on the floor, there were a couple of amendments that were offered, and one of them was for any U.S. military personnel, that they would be excluded and that they would be allowed, if necessary, to file bankruptcy. And one of them, another one, was for people whose the major debt on their credit card was for health care, for people who had to have certain health care taken and didn't have any, wasn't able to pay for it. And both of those amendments were shot down unanimously. And also, I think I read to you a short article that they were considering, or one of the congressmen in the U.S. Congress wanted to consider making an extension on that, because the thing goes into effect in October for the people in Louisiana, in Mississippi, it would, any of those hurricanes, but particularly they mentioned Katrina. And they said no. Sensenbrenner, I think it was, wouldn't even hear it. So while everybody is out there being cannon fodder and being victim of all the chaos and all the so-called natural disasters, they're putting people in the poorhouse, folks. And boy, I'll tell you what, if it isn't real apparent to you right now, all around you, the destruction of America is underway, fast and furious. And here now we have the mercenaries patrolling the streets. This is the Washington Post. It's a short article. September 8th, it says, companies in the Gulf Coast area hit by Hurricane Katrina are turning to an unusual source to protect people and property rendered vulnerable by the storm's damage. Private security contractors that specialize in supporting military operations in war-torn countries such as Iraq and Afghanistan. War-torn countries. Who's tearing the countries up, folks? Who's tearing the countries up? And we live here. And I am so ashamed. I'm so ashamed and I'm so saddened, particularly for people who are so brainwashed that they support this war. And think George W. Bush is a wonderful president. And refer to the Arabs as ragheads. I think that is so degrading. It's the same thing as calling a black a nigger, as far as I'm concerned. I just think it's so degrading. And it's done intentionally, of course. Okay. The North Carolina-based Blackwater USA, for example, has 150 security personnel in the Gulf Coast region. This is the Washington Post. The company, which provided personal security for the head of the Coalition Provisional Authority and continues to have a large presence in Iraq, began by donating the services of a helicopter crew to help the Coast Guard with rescue efforts. But it since has added commercial clients that either have buildings in the region. Oh, this is a lie. Such as hotels are sending employees there to help with reconstruction. Okay, you know, I didn't read this whole article. We have to take a break. So this will be the twist that the media puts on it, that they're being hired by personal individuals rather than being under contract to a Homeland Security. We'll be back right after this, folks.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Okay, we're back. All right, now let's see what the New York Post tells us about these mercenaries. So first they're saying that Blackwater donated the services of a helicopter crew to help the Coast Guard with rescue efforts. But then it since has added commercial clients that either have buildings in the region, such as hotels, or are sending employees there to help with the reconstruction. The calls came flooding in. It's not, this is a quote, it's not something we went down and tried to develop, says Chris Taylor, Blackwater's Vice President for Strategic Initiatives. Armor Group International, a British company, has about 50 employees in the Gulf Coast. My, my. Armor Group International, I haven't read this whole article. I just found it, and it confirmed the other article that Blackwater does exist, and these are mercenaries. So this is news to me, too. So Armor Group International, a British company, has about 50 employees in the Gulf Coast. Most of the work came from existing clients that wanted security quickly as looters ran rampant through New Orleans last week, according to George Connell, president of the firm's McLean-based North American division. Although it's not likely to become a major source of business, private sector firms that specialize in rapid response to dangerous situations probably can have more of a role in a domestic disaster's wake, said Doug Brooks, president of the International Peace Operations Association, a trade group, International Peace Operations Association. He said, I think a lot of people are complaining about how long it took the federal government, but certainly these private companies are always ready to go. And they aren't there to help the people. They are not there to help the people. They are not there to help the people, folks. They are there to contain the people, to control them, to herd them wherever they want them to go. Remember that. Peter Singer, an expert on private military contractors at the Brookings Institution, said that he thinks the presence of such firms is overkill when firms that perform more conventional security work are available. This is not a war zone. The potential threats that might be faced are not insurgents. Insurgents, you know what an insurgent is, don't you, folks? An insurgent is an Iraqi, an individual who lives in Iraq and claimed Iraq as his country and defending their country against foreign invaders. Those foreign invaders, the majority of which are U.S. military personnel. They're called insurgents. Don't use that word, okay? That's the word they want us to use and they want us to think. Insurgent, terrorist. Anyway, this guy says that the potential threats that might be faced are not insurgents armed with mortars and machine guns attacking convoys. He said this was basically looters and a small number of ne'er-do-wells taking pot shots. Blackwater's Taylor said local authorities are notified when company employees move into an area. So far, he said, none of his workers has had to take any action. The idea is that their presence should be enough. He said, quote, we're saying to potential looters, this is a place you don't want to be right now, he said. Armor Group's Connell said that so far the most his employees have had to do is advise a television crew to leave the convention center area after the mood there turned ugly late last week. This, of course, is an older piece, folks. Connell said that unlike in Iraq, where armed security is a necessity, private security in the New Orleans area is mostly needed to make people feel better with a linebacker-sized guy with you. He said the employees he has dispatched to the Gulf Coast are typically Americans who have retired from law enforcement jobs. They are armed with pistols and dressed in khaki pants and blue polo shirts. They're licensed, mature people, he said. On balance, they're sort of an older crowd than people we have in hotter spots around the world. In Iraq, where private security contracts number about 20,000, they're usually former military. This is not a quote. This is a newspaper article. In Iraq, where private security contractors number about 20,000, they're usually former military personnel, and most are equipped with heavy weaponry. Homeland Security Department spokesman Russ Knock said he knows of no federal plans to hire private security, though he would not rule it out. Well, we know they lie. He said, we believe we've got the right mix of personnel in law enforcement for the federal government. And the other report says, these guys said, in no uncertain terms, they're under contract with Homeland Security and with the city of New Orleans. And then we have I've got a piece here that was sent over to me by Kim Johnson Keith, the gentleman that was on with us last night. His wife forwarded it over. And it's an article about a guy named Judah Hertz who has been buying up. In fact, in the past less than 2 years, he's bought up 25% of the commercial property in New Orleans. The guy is, He bid on a gaming license and was turned down because the guy is involved with the mafia. And this guy is owning, along with some Israeli buddies, huge chunks of land already in New Orleans, folks. And Donald Trump is getting into the deal now. From the Times-Picayune, this is August the 25th. This is recent. Yeah, it's yesterday, August the 26th. By Greg Thomas, real estate writer. The Donald signing on to Poydras Project. New York real estate magnate Donald Trump said Thursday he will join a team of Florida developers in transforming a central business district parking lot into what could become the tallest building in New Orleans. I wonder if Donald Trump is working in tandem with Judah Hertz and his Israeli buddies. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. There are people making out like bandits. Well, they are bandits. They are thieves. They are crooks. They are criminals. And they're making out like bandits here. In New Orleans. Because, see, they're the minions. These are the minions of the creatures, the behind-the-scenes creatures that pull their strings. But, you see, they get to keep the spoils. And it's what drives them. It's the love of money. It isn't money that's the root of all evil. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. And people do evil for it, don't they? Says the building, first announced in the spring, would be one of the first new high-rises constructed in the city for more than 25 years and could reach 750 feet or 70 stories. As planned, it will house condominiums. You know, now, do you think that in this short period of time, this building was laid out since Katrina and since the destruction there in New Orleans? This is the 25th. I wonder how long it would take to do the actual architectural engineering plans for a building like this, 770 stories. It will house condominiums, a hotel, a five-star restaurant, and retail space, and could cost as much as $200 million to build. Perhaps more importantly, news Thursday that Trump is signing on with the project is the latest sign that the city's commercial real estate market is reawakening after years of dormancy. And Mayor Ray Nagin said Thursday, after being told the deal was finalized, real estate is hot. There's another article that was in the New York Times, and in it, it was telling about the elite old-line families planning the rebuilding of New Orleans and planning it the way they want it, although they did say a lot of the Creoles would be coming back in. But according to Ray Nagin was mentioned in it, and evidently these elite in New Orleans actually put these people in office. They fill their campaign coffers and they make sure that whoever it is that they want in those. So evidently there are a lot of blacks in public office, and of course, once again, they're nothing more than puppets either, are they? So Ray Nagin said that real estate is hot. New Orleans has seen a boom. Now, listen to this and take a look at the probability here. The plan for Hurricane Katrina. New Orleans has seen a boom in commercial and residential projects in recent months. But the announcement Thursday of Trump's involvement means the project is both the largest and highest profile real estate development to date. I can stop here. We've got about 15 minutes left. If you would like to call in, and I would like to hear from you. It's 570-537-3025. And let me give you my address once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to help to keep this broadcast on the air. It is Jackie Pat Drew. This is totally listener-sponsored radio. Has been for 7 full years. We're into our 8th year. And I was told by John Stadtmiller before the first year was out that actually he acted a little disgusted when he kicked me off Republic Radio. He got ticked off when he found out that one of our listeners had sent a $1,000 donation. He was the one that told me that I should try doing listener-sponsored. And then he got ticked off when it was happening. And he called me and said, "Is it true what I heard?" I said, "Oh, no, what did you hear, John? I heard that somebody's sending you $1,000. I said, "No. It's been sent, and it's on the way to WWCR. And right after that, I got kicked off Republic Radio. I'll give you my address in a minute. Hi, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Jackie. How you doing?
Hi, who is this?
This is Clayton from St. Louis.
I was asked because that nice voice.
Well, I like to think I'm a nice person. I try to be anyway.
Hi, Clayton. How are you?
Oh, I tell you, Jackie, there's just so much going on. On every level.
I know.
On every front. It's just like, you know, where do you go to the front line? I mean, we're surrounded, it seems like.
I guess we're supposed to ask, Clayton, what is it, Father, that you would have me do today? And whatever it is I'm supposed to be doing, please see to it that I do it. I mean, I don't know what else to do, Clayton. Clayton, you're from... No, you're from Clayton, Missouri.
Actually...
Oh, you are Clayton.
I'm from Florissant. I'm about...
I know where Florissant is.
Yeah, I'm just about, 5 miles away from Clayton.
Okay, honey. But you are Clayton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, when you say Clayton from Missouri, I always think of Clayton, Missouri.
It's a beautiful little city.
Clayton, yes, it is. Well,
yeah.
When I was there in St. Louis, we lived out in Chesterfield.
That's a very nice place.
We were out in the boons, they thought.
Well, I tell you what, that area has built up so fast over the last 10 years.
Oh, ha.
That's where everyone is flocking to.
Well, you know, when we moved out there, it would have been 74, Clayton, and it was a subdevelopment, subdevelopment was 4 years old, and neighbors on the corner said that same year that we moved out there, they had deer eating from their back lawn. So it was really quite lovely, you know, when we lived there. But I did drive around, it's been over 10 years ago, but I was aghast. I mean, it was like a big city.
Yeah. Well, people are basically fleeing the city of St. Louis and the inner ring of suburbs, and they're moving to the outer ring of suburbs.
Yeah.
I guess some people call it urban sprawl. Some people call it white flight. People call it different things.
Yeah. What is the Bottoms? What are they out there by St. Charles?
Oh, Missouri Bottoms.
Is it?
Yeah, that's along the Missouri River.
Is that where the prison is?
Gumbo, the one that they...
Gumbo Flats. Is it Gumbo Flats?
Yeah, they renovated that prison. It was a... They closed the prison because it was in an industrial park.
Yep.
It has been closed for, several years now. They opened it up and renovated it for supposedly evacuees. And guess what? Only one evacuee showed up.
You're kidding me.
No. And, you know, They opened up an airport hangar at the airport.
They didn't only renovate it, they put barbed wire rolled in on that thing, Clayton.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because my daughter has a friend who was out there, and she said those people are going to be prisoners. I wonder whatever happened to those evacuees then.
I don't know. They were also supposed to bring... They opened up an old Boeing hangar at the airport, and they fixed that up to accommodate 2,000 evacuees. We kept on waiting and waiting, and then after, I guess, about a week, FEMA finally told St. Louis that you're not going to be receiving any evacuees. So they spent all that money to get that hangar in shape. I mean, they installed showers. I'm sure they spent over $1 million getting that ready.
That's amazing.
And nobody showed up.
But you know what? Maybe, because it is, remember I was saying that I had heard or read that George W. Bush had declared New Hampshire a state in a state of emergency. Well, actually, Clayton, he's declared 41 states in national emergencies, and Missouri is one of them. And the reason, their justification for doing that is that then the federal government will pay for all the expense to the state for these evacuees. That's why they declared the emergency. So we're under state of emergency. So is Pennsylvania.
Well, you know, it's my opinion, just watching what they've done there, that what they did in New Orleans and the surrounding parishes, it's just a test run for what they're going to do nationwide.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's martial law and house-to-house and confiscation.
And mercenary,
right.
What do you call them?
Hired guns.
Hired guns, yes.
Man, I tell you what, that's scary.
Well, you know.
I've heard a lot of people that are down there, and they just cannot believe the way the federal government has come down here and what they've done.
Do you know,
if there was any justice, Jackie, a lot of people would be going to jail right now for what happened.
And for what didn't happen.
Right, for what didn't, yes. Basically, that's it. That the man that testified today, who was head of FEMA, he should be going to prison. His boss in the White House, he should be going to prison. Most of all, the director of Homeland Security, the snake, Mr. Michael Chertoff, he should be going to prison. A lot of people should be going to prison over that, because a lot of people died because of what they did, and most of all, like you said, what they didn't do.
You know, on FEMA's website, it actually said that they had told the FEMA, federal FEMA employees to stand down, and that they were not supposed to do anything until there was a contract. I don't think they used the word contract, but agreement by local and state officials. So in other words, they're saying, well, we couldn't do anything because we can't interfere until they let us. And, you know, maybe there was something to that I read, that the reason that they were standing down is that the governor wouldn't declare an emergency and give the federal government total control. And maybe
why did FEMA interfere with private relief agencies going in there the first
right
day? Right. That's criminal.
There were doctors who were turned away.
Yep. Yeah. Our esteemed president says that they're going to rebuild New Orleans bigger and better than it was, and that it was going to be done by local people. And the next thing he does is he hires Halliburton
yes.
to go in there.
Yes.
And then he also says that normal wage laws will not apply to people that go in there and rebuild, which means they can hire illegals and other people, undocumented workers, for less than minimum wage.
You're using their politically correct undocumented workers.
Right, yeah, illegal aliens.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean,
I hate it when I find myself doing that.
Yeah.
Well, of course, they've made up the whole language anyway. You know, I when these things come up, Alan Watt told us this so many times and so long ago, that what is happening today was going to happen, Clayton, that the U.S., America, was actually founded to bring in the New World Order, and that when its job is done, when it's outlived its usefulness, the American people will be brought to their knees and America will be destroyed. What is happening today?
Yep.
This is just exact. And I don't. Do you have internet access, Clayton?
Oh yeah.
Well, honey, have you read any of the book Jewish Persecution? That's on our line at our website at sweetliberty.org.
No.
I wish you would go in there, and if you don't want to read, it's in chapters, and the chapters aren't long ones. I've tried to keep them to about 10 typed pages each. But in chapter 12 is where I got my eye-opening, because I was talking about, you know, the Noahide laws. And I mentioned the fact that at the top of the starting out, that if it doesn't blow your mind away, that the U.S. Supreme Court accepted a brief based solely on the Talmud, then you're not getting it. And then I said that the U.S. Supreme Court was created to hear cases on constitutionality. And then I went back and put in the word allegedly created for that. And then I started off on this tangent. And Clayton, I thought, oh my God, I mean, what am I doing? This doesn't belong here. But then I just kept going and going, and that was my wake-up call, honey. That was where I got the wake-up call, because the Constitution, because everything that was done for them and their posterity, not for the people.
Well, that's right. They have usurped the reins of power in this country, and that's easy to see. I mean, all you have to look is who are in the positions of power, where it really matters, Federal Reserve.
Who controls the money?
Right. Department of Homeland Security, Internal Security Forces, Mr. Michael Chertoff. Look who's in control of the media in Hollywood. You know, it's the same thing. I mean, they have taken the reins of power, and they are changing our laws in our culture into an anti-Christ society, and you know, it's like the Supreme Court. They even admitted in their briefs that they are making decisions based on foreign law. They said in one case they made a decision based on European law,
international law.
European law. They're going to they're telling you right now that they're now making law based on foreign law, which could include United Nations law. They're not going by the Constitution, so they're breaking their oath.
If you read that that one chapter of the book I mentioned, then you'll see that they're not breaking the law, because it was the Constitution itself was not completed, because they left out the details of the judiciary. And all the time that they were behind closed doors, the way they do today, coming up with the first Judiciary Act, which actually was more words than the whole Constitution itself, that was when the states were refusing to ratify the Constitution. And so then they started accepting the suggestions, you know, for the first 10 Articles of Amendment.
Right.
And so then the people got all excited about that and didn't realize what was going on, and they passed that first Judicial Act, which was, in essence, an amendment to the Constitution, or finishing the Constitution, and it left the doors wide open, Clayton, for what's happening today. And that's why I wouldn't defend the Constitution with my dying breath anymore.